It's pretty clear that there are forces in our world who want to shut up the Christian faith and close down the proclamation of the truth and the Christian worldview. And they've infiltrated the church without question. And we know that Christ will return one day. But what are we supposed to do before he comes? Let's find out today on From His Heart. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm Larry Nobles, and we are thrilled that you've joined us for the last day of the month and the powerful last lesson from Pastor Jeff's series, Face Off, Fighting for the Faith. It's based on the book of Jude. Now, in the book of Jude, believers are warned that before Jesus Christ returns to gather his faithful, false teachers will try to secretly inject their poison into the church and derail the work of God. So, knowing all of this, what are we, as believers, supposed to do in the meantime? Let's find out in the message called, What to Do Until He Comes. Open your Bible now to the book of Jude. Here's Pastor Jeff.
So, what are we to do until He comes? Number one, be vigilant. Not only be vigilant, be diligent. And he gives us five areas where we're supposed to be diligent to grow. Area number one is the Word of God, where it says to build yourself up on your most holy faith. How do you do that? You do that through the Word of God. Secondly, you spend time talking to God. He says, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So as you spend time reading God's Word, then you're going to pray. Praying in the Holy Spirit. What is that? Prayer is just talking to God. And then he says in verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. Jeff, doesn't it say somewhere? I've read it somewhere in the book of Romans, maybe it's chapter 8. It says, nothing can separate us from the love of God, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Doesn't it say something like that? It does. You say, well, this seems to say that I have to keep myself in the love of God. And that verse, hey, keep yourselves in the love of God, does that mean that I can somehow fall out of the love of God? No, that's not what it means. It means keep yourself in these last days, what to do before he comes, until he comes. Keep yourself in the sphere, in the blessing of the love of God. You know, I have used the term over and over and over again. I like the term blessing ground. Live life on blessing ground. That's another way to say keep yourselves in the love of God. Live your life so you're on blessing ground so you can experience God's love and you can enjoy God's love. And how do you do that? You keep in his love by walking in his light. That's how you keep yourself in the love of God. It's obedience. It's not just reading the Word of God, but then it's doing what he says. It's not just Bible study and prayer. The Pharisees had Bible study and prayer. They didn't have heart obedience at all. They didn't keep themselves in the love of God. Jesus said, you guys have missed out. You strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. You tithe mint and dill and cumin, but you neglect the weightier provisions of the law. Justice and mercy and love. You miss out on those things. Hey, keep the big things in the forefront of your mind. Keep yourself in the love of God. Do what God tells you to do. And you do that by walking in his light. Some years ago, Debbie and I were in Seattle, and we flew out of Seattle to come back to Texas. I mean, it's like raining there all the time. And we were flying out of there and the weather wasn't good. And it was just a really dark, dreary, soupy day. It's a typical day in Seattle. And so we're flying and we go through these clouds and it is dark and it is dreary. And it's like, yikes, it's just a little creepy. And it's not an evening flight. This is, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning. And it's just like, man, you go through these clouds, you can't see anything because it's just dark clouds. And then you keep going and that plane keeps going up and up and up. And finally, boom, you burst through the clouds and there's glorious sunlight. You know, when you were in the clouds, you were saying, the sun must not be shining today. But that's not true. The sun is always shining. You're just not up high enough to experience the light. And as that plane kept going up, all of a sudden, boom, we got through those dark clouds and we were in the brilliant sunlight. And keeping yourself in the love of God says, don't get down in the darkness. Don't walk in darkness. You're not going to keep yourself in the love of God if you're not rising up and if you're not looking up and if you're not walking in the light of God's love. And that means that you deal with sin in your life. You don't let sin, you don't stick sin in a closet somewhere. You don't sweep it under the rug somewhere. You deal with it. The Bible says God is light and in him is there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of God's son cleanses us from all sin. And walking in the light doesn't mean you're sinless. It means you're dealing with stuff. And when you sin and when you blow it, you bring it before the Lord and you say, Lord, this is what I did. Lord, I lusted. Lord, I was greedy. Lord, I lied. Lord, I did this. God, forgive me for that sin. I turn my back on that sin. I don't want that in my life. Lord, I bring it out into the open. I get it out of the shadows and under your blood. If you'll do that, God will bless your life. You'll be on blessing ground. And what are you doing there? You're in the sphere of God's love. You're keeping yourself in the love of God. That is so key because everything in the Christian life flows out of love. The number one commandment is to love God with all your heart. The number two commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. If you're not keeping yourself in the love of God, you're not going to be able to do those things and you're not going to be able to please God. So that is so critical in these last days. And then he says, fourthly, to wait expectantly for his return. Keep yourselves in the love of God, verse 21, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Man, you wanna live an exciting in an exciting way? Think all the time, today could be the day. Today could be the day that the Lord comes back. Put that on the forefront of your mind every day when you wake up. Perhaps today, this could be the day. Wait expectantly for his return. I heard about a preacher and he was preaching about the second coming of Christ and he was using that phrase that Jesus used, behold, I am coming quickly. And he belted it out, behold, I am coming quickly. And when he did that, he took a step on the platform toward the audience. Behold, I am coming quickly. He said it again and he took a step toward the audience. He said it a third time. Behold, I am coming quickly. And he stepped toward the audience and he lost his balance and he fell in the orchestra pit right on the tuba player. He was so upset. He said, I am so sorry. And the man said, no, really, it was my fault. You told me three times you were coming. The Lord is coming quickly. Wait expectantly for his return. And then lastly, share the good news. This is all about being diligent, to make every effort. Share the good news. Tell other people about him. Verse 22, and have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. What's he talking about there? He's talking about winning people to Christ. He's talking about sharing your faith. He's talking about fulfilling your ministry. You say, well, what's my ministry? I'm not sure what my ministry is. Acts 1:8, you have the same ministry I have. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. That's your ministry. Now, it takes different forms, but your ministry, my ministry is the same. We're here to win people to Christ. We're there to love on them. You know, people aren't projects. And sometimes in the church, we can kind of focus in on a person who's not a Christian and you're on my prayer list and you're my project. And that person doesn't want to be your project. They wouldn't mind being your friend. They wouldn't mind you loving them. They don't mind you praying for them, most of them. But they don't want to be a project. And so we're to have mercy on some who are doubting. We're to be there and to love on them, to answer the questions. And sometimes you don't have the answers. Sometimes I don't have the answers. People will tell me, what about this? What about that? What's God doing here? I don't know what God is doing. But I do know this. God loves you. Jesus died for you. He's got a plan for you. You go back to the things that you know, because there's lots of things that we don't know. So you stick with the things that you know. Have mercy on some who are doubting. And then he says, save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some, have mercy with fear. There's some people that you witness to, but you witness to and you keep your distance. You have mercy with fear. I had friends like that when I was first saved. I had to have mercy with fear, because if I hung out with them, if I got too close to those guys who were my friends, and if I hung out where they hung out, I was gonna fall back into the same sins. And I wasn't gonna be salt, and I wasn't gonna be light, and I wasn't gonna be able to make a difference in their lives. So I had to back off and be friends with them from a distance and find safe places to spend time with them. Friday night and Saturday night at the nightclub wasn't gonna do it, because that was going to cause me to fall back into sin. When I was in seminary, question was asked the president when I was at seminary. They said, hey, president, we have heard that a lot of people that go to seminary, they don't do so well at seminary. I mean, they're studying the Bible all the time and they lose their heart for God. When I told some friends that I was going to seminary, one older man who was a pastor, dear, dear man, Davis Wood, he said, be careful in seminary that you don't lose your heart for God. Sad commentary on our seminaries, that you have to be careful going to seminary that you don't lose your heart for God. But it happens. And the president said to us students, he said, listen, he said, you want to keep your heart for God here in seminary? He said, three things you have to do. Number one, you have to have a quiet time every day. He said, it's not enough to be in Old Testament class and you're reading, you know, five books of the Bible every week. You have to have a devotional time, just you and Jesus. You're not studying for a test. You're just spending time with the Lord in his word. Have a quiet time every day. Get involved in a good church. And number three, share your faith. Share your faith. It keeps things fresh. It keeps things vibrant. It keeps you praying. It keeps you engaged with people. Tell people about Jesus Christ. The word of God, prayer, keeping ourselves on blessing ground, keeping ourselves in his love, waiting for his return, sharing our faith. And then the last exhortation, be confident. Verse 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Confidence. Be confident. Vigilant, diligent, confident. Confident of what? Confident of this. If you have given your heart and life to Jesus Christ, he will never let you go. Never let you go. He'll hold you all the way to glory. Now, some people have an idea that you can lose your salvation. I want to tell you something. You cannot lose genuine salvation. You didn't do anything to get it. You can't do anything to lose it. It is a gift of God. And so you can't sin your way out of a relationship with God. He is able to keep you from stumbling, to keep you from falling. The apostates were people who have fallen away from the Lord, but they never belonged to him. And the Lord is saying, hey, for you who really belong to me, I'm able to keep you. I'm able to keep you from stumbling. I'm able to keep you from falling. In this life, if you'll walk with God and keep yourself in the love of God, you'll walk in victory. Doesn't mean you'll be perfect, because no one's perfect, but you'll walk in victory in this life. You're not gonna keep falling and falling and falling into the same sin, same sin, same sin, same sin. You are gonna come out from among them. You are gonna be separate, because the Lord is going to grow you and mature you. So he's able to keep you from stumbling into sin over and over and over again. But he's able to keep you from stumbling out of a relationship with him. He's able to keep you from falling out of a relationship with him. Jesus said this in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who is greater than all, has given them to me, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Here's the picture Jesus paints. The moment that you give your heart and life to Christ, you become his sheep, and he puts you in his hand, and you are there in his hand, and he says, no one is able to snatch you out of my hand. And he said, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And if it's not good enough that you're in the hand of the Lord Jesus, he said, my Father puts his hand over my hand and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. You are secure in the Lord Jesus Christ, in God the Father. You can't be snatched out. You can't fall out. You can't be ripped out. There is no way, no how, because he's able to keep those from falling. Some of you are worried about losing your salvation. Can't happen. Can't happen. Once you're truly saved, you're saved forever. But some have never been saved. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out in order that it might be shown that they are all not truly of us. Can a person lose his salvation? No. Well, I know somebody. He was really excited about the Lord. Now he's turned his back on it. He was never saved. That's the difference, because the person who's really saved, the Lord holds on to that person and he's able to keep him from stumbling all the way to heaven. And he's able to make you stand before him with great joy, blameless with great joy, not sinless, blameless. What's the difference between being blameless and being sinless? Blameless means, hey, I have sinned, but he's taken away all my sin. He paid for all my sin on the cross. And so I stand blameless because all my blame was put on Jesus and all of that was paid for on the cross. I stand before God blameless. Wow. You know, this verse is such a great verse because it tells us what's going to happen one day when we meet the Lord. For those who know the Lord, we meet the Lord face to face. What's that going to be like to meet the Lord face to face? This says you'll stand in his presence, blameless with great joy. Wow. And you get to see face to face the one that you've known heart to heart. Wow. And you're made like him, the Bible says. When we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him just as he is.
Isn't that an awesome thought? Not only to be blameless, but to be with the Lord who has paid for your sin, face to face. Pastor Jeff Shreve returns to conclude this message on From His Heart today with a story of a man who, after falling into great sin, was able to stand blameless before the Lord with great joy. Listen, Christianity is facing great challenges today from a secular culture that doesn't want to be told about the truth of Jesus. The naysayers are mounting forces. Do you know how to recognize and then defend the faith that you have in Christ against the forces of evil? Well, today's message, What to Do Until He Comes, is part of a four-message series entitled Face Off, Defending the Faith, that'll help you do just that. And Pastor Jeff's Face Off series is available when you go online to fromhisheart.org or call 866-40-BIBLE. The Lord knows when the end will come, but we don't. We are called to stand firm for the truth and be faithful until the end. We trust these messages are empowering you to do just that. Now, let's hear the conclusion to the final face-off message called What to Do Until He Comes. Here again is Pastor Jeff.
I want to close with this story. It's one of my favorite stories in one of my favorite books, Failure and How I Achieved It, by Mike Courtney. Mike Courtney was a pastor. Mike Courtney had a problem. Mike Courtney had trouble with the love of God, really accepting the love of God, that God would really love him. He had a bad home life. Mike Courtney was a pastor, and God had gifted him to speak and to preach, but he kept falling into the same sin, into sexual immorality. And finally, it destroyed him. And his wife left him, and his sons wanted nothing to do with him. He lost his job at the church because of the sexual immorality, and it had happened on numerous occasions. He found himself at a counselor's office. He had gone away to this place. He was going to be there for a month. And in that counseling time, God was working. He was pouring out his heart, and he had a vision of the Lord. He says this, "I see myself, a white-haired old man. I know at once that I'm dead, but there's no fear, no sorrow, no remorse. I am in heaven. I don't know how I know that. I just know. I see no features around me, no streets of gold or mansions over the hilltop. I'm not walking on the clouds or floating in space. In fact, the geography and topography of the place are so unimportant as to be invisible in my vision. The only thing that has any consequence is the figure that stands before me. It is God. Of this I am quite sure. He is big and powerful, but not at all intimidating. He stands in a colorless tunic as if nothing, even color, can be allowed to distract from him. He is ancient, not old. I can identify nothing of his face except to say there is a radiance. It is not blinding. I don't squint or strain against him. Again, there is no kind of discomfort at all, but the radiance is all that I can distinguish of facial features. I would say he's beaming. Implicit in that thought is a smile. In my vision, I take a step toward God, but he, without rush or hurry, without even movement, covers the distance between us until we stand face to face. There is such a serenity and calm that I feel like I am right where I've always longed to be, safe and welcome. God opens his arms wide, inviting me to step into his embrace. His tunic flows without wrinkle or sound. The radiant glow envelops not just his face, but his whole being. He speaks to me in a voice that is booming, but not loud, full of authority, but not authoritative. I am not afraid. There is no doubt in me. I am completely at ease. And God says, I love you. I have always loved you. That picture is in my mind. It would stand before him, blameless, with great joy, as the Lord hugs us and holds us close to his heart and says, I love you. I have always loved you, and I have kept you all the way to glory. He is able. You can be confident, and here's the question. He is able. Are you willing to come to him?
If you have some real questions about Christ, about Christianity, about how to get that assurance of your salvation, or why you even care, then we've got some real answers for you. Let me invite you to the Why Jesus section on our website, write it fromhisheart.org. There you can listen to, watch, and read, and download some wonderful resources from Pastor Jeff that'll answer many or most of your questions. And these free materials will help you in your journey. Just go to the Why Jesus tab at fromhisheart.org. Well, time is almost gone, but a quick reminder that today is the last day we'll be offering Pastor Jeff's series, The Truth in Love, as our thank you gift for your support of any amount. We hope you'll contact us today with a gift and request the timely series, The Truth in Love, in the format of your choice. Again, it's our thanks for standing with us this month. Simply call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org and request the series, The Truth in Love, when you make your gift. I'm Larry Nobles, inviting you to join us tomorrow as we begin a new month of messages that are sure to encourage you about what is to come for believers and how we can prepare our families and friends to understand what to expect from the church in the last days. That's on Wednesday, when Pastor Jeff opens up God's Word and shares real truth, real love, and real hope from God's heart. Here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, who believes that no matter how badly you may have messed up in life, God still loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. You can find out more about that plan when you go to fromhisheart.org.